This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
I admit that last evening when we were setting up, I wondered why I had agreed to speak on this subject. There were a few moments where it did not feel like everything was in order and was going to happen. So, not every event goes perfectly as planned. I sort of fell into event planning, and that wasn't what took me to Faith Builders. That wasn't why I went there at the beginning. Went to work in some other areas, and there was a need for people to help with events, and so I assisted, and then after a few years, the role increased, and I started being in charge of more events and being in charge of more things. And along the way, I found out that I enjoy a number of pieces of planning and coordinating events. It helps to like details and not be driven to tears by keeping details straight. And I do enjoy details. I like organizing information. And I found that I enjoy seeing something come together, and you think and you plan and you envision what could be, and you consider a goal, and then you work to make it happen. And seeing it happen, seeing that event come together, really is the payoff, is the place where it feels successful. And but at different times, I've realized often in planning an event, the person who does the planning isn't out front very much. And I found out that that's actually okay, that I actually enjoy when speakers and presenters are up front and they're doing their thing, they're offering what they have to give, and people can enjoy that. They can experience what you've planned, and they're not frustrated because things don't work. So a lot of what I've learned has been through trial and error. It's including some errors. It's been through watching other people work and seeing how my coworkers approach events. It's not been through a lot of formal study or reading books. I've read a few books, but mostly it's just learning on the job. And that's the context that I'll bring here to speaking. I am interested in having a bit of an idea of where you find yourselves in the planning, on the planning spectrum. Do you enjoy details? Do you enjoy planning something, whether it's a birthday party or some kind of fundraiser? Or you do it, maybe in the middle is you do it because somebody has to do it. And maybe the other end is if you can avoid it, by all means, you do, and the only time you plan something is if you're dragged into it. How many of you enjoy it? You'd say, I like planning something and making it happen. Okay. How many of you are kind of, well, if somebody has to do it, and I guess if they tell me it's me, I'll do it. Anybody kind of in that place? Anybody in the stage of, if I could get out of it, I would. I hate doing it. It's okay if that's where you are. But that gives some idea. A number of you like it. So that's a good place to start. And you can probably offer some ideas along the way as well. One of the fundamental presuppositions that I've come to, and this is a realization that I think I had almost unconsciously, and that's the presupposition that the content of an event ought to be the focus. Whatever the event is about, whatever it's trying to deliver, that's what you want, that's what ought to be the focus. Now, if your event is a reunion, for example, most reunions don't feature a speaker, but they do feature a lot of conversation, and that's the content. So you're trying to say, how do we enable people to enjoy being together? So content can be anything from just people simply sitting, visiting, talking together without interruption or without distraction, or it can be speakers and presentations. But the point of an event ought to be the content. Everything else ought to support that. That's the conclusion that I've come to. And what I've found as I thought about this, I've identified it four different aspects of an event that can help to, in a sense, elevate the content, to make that the focus. And that's what we're going to look at here this afternoon. Now, not all of the events I work with are as large as Reach. So Reach is a large event. I'm actually one person of many that plan and make this happen. I'm involved with events like open houses at Faith Builders, where sometimes we have 10 guests. Those are small events. But the things that I'm thinking about really do fit the spectrum. Now, how they're applied, the level of detail or even the amount of stuff that's involved with making them happen, of course, that varies. But the ideas really do apply, whether it's a large event or something small. So the first aspect is what I'm calling the framework. And in a sense, that's larger than aspect, but I couldn't figure out a way to imagine it or picture it other than calling it one of the aspects. And this is what ties everything together. The diagram is my effort to picture some of what I'm thinking about. So the framework is this outer circle that really holds together whatever you're doing, and it guides what's inside, what's at the center. Where I'd like to start is with the question, what? Now, I know that Simon Sinek says you should start with why, and we'll get there. But simply, what is it that you're doing? What is the event? I mean, what are we doing? Can you describe it in a sentence? And if you can start to name, well, what is it that we're going to do? Is this a fundraiser? Is this a conference? Is this an informational event? What's going on? And I'd like to give you just a moment here. Take a moment and think about something that you've been involved in. Maybe you're helping to plan it. Maybe it's something, if you're in an organization, it's an event that you host. Maybe it's something you've been part of. But what is it? In one sentence, what do you do? And you can write that down if you wish. What is it that you do? And what I'm thinking here is something like a statement that Reach is a two-day conference for people who work in ministry and are interested in ministry. That's the kind of statement of what are we doing. Once you've named what you're doing, then you can think about why. Then you can start to say, well, why are we doing it? And sometimes the answer to the why question can be a bit embarrassing. Can be, well, we've always done this. We've been doing it for the last 25 years, so that's why we do it. Or, well, all schools do fundraiser events. Of course we'll do a fundraiser event. And if you say things like that, even to yourself, you can feel a little embarrassed sometimes. That doesn't sound very compelling. But why do we do it? And here you're thinking, here we're thinking about, what do we hope to accomplish by this event? And so you could think about that event that you had in your mind earlier and say, well, why do we do it? Here's a couple of statements from Faith Builders that'll give you an idea of what I mean when I'm starting to talk about why. So I gave you one. I gave you a what sentence for Reach, but here's a statement about another event. The Administrators Conference and Retreat helps school administrators build vision for their schools and become effective leaders. Here's something about Teachers Week. Teachers Week provides an opportunity for new and experienced teachers to participate in workshops and breakouts designed to increase their effectiveness in the classroom. Now, those are statements that combine what and why. It's not a clear statement, here's why we do it. Those are statements that we put out for the public. If you go to our website, you'd find almost word for word what I just read. And if you go beneath the surface a little bit, you start to see why we care about it. So implied in the statement about the school administrators conference is a belief that school administrators are pretty important for the success and health of a school. And if they're equipped and empowered, and if they stick with the job for a long time, the school is going to be a lot more effective. And so why we do it? We want school administrators to be effective. We want them to be equipped. And when you answer that why question, it helps give clarity to your planning. It guides decision making. There's examples of, I can give examples of how we said, well, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this event? What do we hope happens? And should we do this activity or not? And sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no, because a particular activity may not align with that why statement, why we care about it. You could also say, what would success look like for this event? If we were wildly successful, what would happen? What would that look like? That dreaming sometimes uncovers why you're doing it. You start to get some of that vision or passion. And again, I'll give you just a moment here to think about, and if you're not currently involved with planning an event, you can imagine something and kind of think about why we would do this, or what defines success. That's part of answering a why question. And then a third piece here in the framework is how. And resist the temptation. I don't mean at this point in the discussion, I don't mean details or mechanics. I don't mean, are we going to prepare the food ourselves or hire someone to cater it? That's not what I mean. I mean, what are the attitudes? What are the priorities? What are our commitments? How do we approach this event? Will we focus on efficiency? Will we focus on first name basis relationships with people who are present? Are we focusing on joy? Are we focusing on beauty? Are we focusing on service, austerity? How are we going to do this event that we're doing? And again, thinking about that helps you to make decisions when you're actually answering questions about the event. How are we going to do it? So this framework, this effort to answer some, define what it is we're doing, why we're doing it, and then how, that really does start to guide us toward elevating the content. Again, our goal, my goal, is to make the content the focus. So we're not going to spend a lot of time at an event talking about why we do this or how we do this. It actually is not that important that it's named to everyone who's present how we're doing the event. That should just happen. But for the planners, thinking about how it's going to be done or what kind of attitudes should come forth really will, that will guide the planning, and it'll be experienced in different ways. Okay, so the first aspect, the framework, kind of trying to think about this big picture, what holds your event together. The second aspect is the staff, and this is titled The Nuts and Bolts, and so we're going to work on nuts and bolts, but staff really is the people who make an event happen, that's a huge part of it actually happening. It's a huge part of the content being the focus. I'm going to just really quickly give some ideas or some pieces at least of staff. But one thing I've learned is that when a group of people are working together on an event, it's really easy to start functioning in silos where here's the person who's in charge of the program and the speakers, and here's the person who's in charge of the food, and here's the person who's in charge of the decorations, and none of us know what the others are doing. And so it can result in a loss of communication. Even worse, sometimes our answers to the why and how questions get mismatched and we're not actually working toward the same goals anymore because we're not talking to each other. So that's one reason why the staff are so important in events is if they're not on the same page, if the people planning it aren't on the same or coordinating it and carrying it out aren't on the same page, you'll lose the focus on the content. So a couple of things that I'm just going to quickly give under the staff. One is getting buy-in for an event. When we ask people to, in the case of Reach, we ask people to travel from Guy's Mills to Lancaster for 3 or 4 days, they need to know why we're doing it. And they need to understand it's they need to share the vision. They need to buy in. And when you say, we're going to be there until whatever time setting up, and then you'll be there again at whatever time in the morning, you need buy-in. You have to have the buy-in of the people that are involved. And one way to... These are connected. These are interconnected. Maybe point three that I gave under the staff, that's point three, is building trust. And that's part of getting buy-in. But when a team of people are going to work together, they need to trust each other. And building trust within that team is crucial to making it work. That's part of getting buy-in. My second point there is cultivating alignment with organizational commitments. So again, how are we doing an event? What are we committed to? Are we going to do this with an attitude of humility, an attitude of joy, expressions of service and caring? Everyone has to be aligned with that, because if some people are grumpy and you're trying to say this is about joy, well, that's not going to work. It's not going to be effective. So alignment with organizational commitments is really important. And you can do some of that with the fourth idea, communicating expectations. Part of the expectations are, when will you have to work and what will you be doing and how long will it take and how much preparation ahead of time. You can also communicate expectations about the attitudes and about the goals and vision. Now, we could spend a great deal more time thinking about staff. We're going to move on to the third aspect, which is the attendee experience. This is another group of people, obviously, that attendees are another group of people, obviously, that are part of an event. But I'm talking about the attendee experience, not primarily the attendees here, but the attendee experience. And again, remember, what I'm focused on is how can the content be in focus. So when people are thinking about an event or they're coming to an event, their experience has a huge part in whether they receive the content or not. And that starts when they register, starts when they sign up. And that's a... You can... In our experience at Faith Builders, there's a tension between what we want to learn about attendees and what actually is ideal for attendees to have to offer. How many times have we filled out a form for something, and hopefully not an FB event, but sometimes I think so. But I've signed up for things, and I sometimes say, why do you need this information? Do you actually need to know this about me in order to come to this event, for me to come to your event? But it starts there. We say, what's the information? What's the registration process? What does that experience look like? And then it goes all the way through. So after a person has said they're going to come, well, what communication do they receive? What information do they get? Once they get to the event, how are you going to care for them? How are you going to treat them? The communication is a crucial part of the attendee experience. So do they receive... And Reach is a... We are constantly, in this event, constantly working with the tension. How much information do we send to people? How many emails ought we to send out? What all do people need to know? What all do they want to provide? What all do we need to know? And it's attention. And every event, I think, has something of that, where what do you need to know? But communication. I dislike when I arrive somewhere and I have no idea which entrance I'm supposed to use or which door. Now, Calvary Church is a tough place to come to for the first time. But if I go somewhere, I really like to know if I'm at the right place or if I'm going in a door that I shouldn't be going in. And so, again, that's part of the attendee experience. And you can communicate that ahead of time and let them know what to be prepared for. And then, of course, there's all kinds of experience components during an event, announcements you make, and so on. So you can, if you're thinking about the attendee experience and you're thinking about a particular event, and here I am going to pause for a couple of minutes and let you work on this one. This set of four ideas here. Determine what the process is for identifying the attendees. Make a list of possible communication items. What are some things you might need to communicate to people who are going to come to your event, the event you're thinking of? And then describe the feel you want for attendees. When they're present, what should they feel like? What do you want them to be feeling from the event? Is it... how are you going to make them comfortable, or how comfortable do you want them to be? And how are you going to communicate that feel? And finally, you can think about what value can attendees expect to receive? And you could name some of the value you hope attendees receive through an event. And again, events vary, so value might simply be a chance to sit down and talk with someone that I haven't seen for a couple of years. And you've created an event where I meet this person and there's space in the schedule for me to sit down and talk and visit and catch up. That's a value. It might be that I learned some things that I wanted to know. So value doesn't just have to be gimmicks or promotions or giveaways. It's what does an attendee take away here? So let's take a couple of minutes here. I'll give you just a couple for you to think on your own about an event you're considering, something that's in your mind. What are some of the attendee experience components here? Okay, I would love to hear some of what you've worked on, but I think we're going to move on. But taking time when you're planning an event to think about the attendee experience really does help to guide the planning. It's an important part of planning. That's the third aspect that helps to keep content central. And then finally, the final aspect is nuts and bolts. And this is in some ways this is where we tend to start. It's where we tend to begin when we're planning something. But I think work on the aspect of the nuts and bolts will be more effective if we give some attention to these other ideas. Now, let's just work together, and you help me. What are some of the... Well, before we go into that, I do want to observe here at this point that there's not a tight sequence to all of these aspects. Okay, so I drew dashed lines here intentionally because you don't think about one in isolation from the others. There's an interplay, and it's not just a strict sequence. First you think about staff, then you think about attendees, and they're interconnected. So you don't hit them all in a straight sequence, back and forth, interconnected, and so on. And so again, begin with the framework, staff, attendee experience, nuts and bolts. That kind of all merges together and ends up being, you think about part of it, and that gives you some ideas for nuts and bolts and so on. But let's work together. Let's just name some categories or some items that could fall under nuts and bolts of an event. What are some, I'll give one just to give you an example of the kind of thing, but so what are the dates? When is this event happening? That's the kind of thing that falls in nuts and bolts. What are some others that you'd add here? Call them out.
Where?
Okay. The location.
Chairs and tables,
yeah. It's furnishings and equipment. Yeah, chairs.
Tents.
Yeah.
Food.
Childcare. Decorations.
Signs.
Ah, signs. Yes, signage.
Coffee.
Yes, indeed.
Invitations.
Okay, invitations.
I was going to say communication.
Coffee-regular.
No decaf. Communication? Yeah. Okay, right. Invitations can be a one of the kinds of communications that need to happen. Good. Okay, what others are you thinking of?
Newspaper ads.
Okay. Yeah, but let's just add that here. Advertisement.
Facebook, emails.
Okay, so social media. Another piece here.
We didn't really address this outright. Tents, kind of a venue.
Ah, okay. Yeah, good.
Traffic flow.
And this can be both automobiles and people when you think about traffic.
You have enough parking also comes into that.
All right.
Costs.
Ah, yeah. The cost, the financial side of it. Yep.
Materials.
Okay. What are some examples that you're thinking of there?
Books.
Okay.
Handouts. Music.
Yeah. Okay. Any kind of, yeah. There can be a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need? What do attendees need? What do you need in this event? Okay?
Speakers.
Yeah.
I guess there's two kinds of speakers. There's people and
equipment. Okay. Let's just add AV equipment, audiovisual equipment. And we could add technology there. I mean, what other do you need?
This is nuts and bolts, but I'm thinking of auctioneers.
Ah.
Sale committee.
All right. If your event is a benefit auction, you don't need speakers, you need auctioneers.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so the questions are going to differ a little bit, but a lot of these will fit many events. And not all of them will fit every event, but they'll fit a lot. Now, Avery, if you would hand out distribute the second handout that I have there, what you're getting now is something that you could use as a worksheet. It's one way of thinking about it. I don't necessarily use this particular document in events. It's just primarily a way to visualize for you how you might think about working on some of these nuts and bolts. And I didn't get every category that you named. I have a few that we didn't list up here on the board, I think. Avery, could I get one as well? I forgot to find one up here myself. Thank you. So we named a lot of these, but notice the left column, nuts and bolts, and here are the categories we named, but what's been helpful for me is to think about each of these then can be framed as a question. So if you're thinking about date. Well, when will it be held? You can ask a question. Somebody's going to have to answer that question. And as you work through answering the questions, you're planning your event. And that's really what planning an event is. It's answering questions. So when will the event be held? Where will it be held? Who's responsible? And so on. But what can be... So this gives you some ideas. I'm going to look at, I listed one or two things here that I don't think we talked about on our list. Yes, the very last two on the list I don't think really came up. Evaluation. So what kind of feedback will we seek from participants and planners? How are we going to get that feedback? And reporting, that's a category. Who needs to receive, who, if anyone, needs to receive a report on the event? In my situation, I have to provide reports to our board of directors on, now they don't look at all the fine details, but they want reports on our events. Our administrative team wants reports. They want to have some idea of what happened. How did it go? What worked well? What didn't work well? So reporting might be a component for some events. But as you work down through the primary questions, and those are the questions in the first column, the nuts and bolts, then you start to find out some secondary questions. And you see those in the additional column. So what's the actionable task? Here's the question. What's the task that follows from that? Most things can be turned into a task that can be, well, if it's not an actionable task, it's not going to get done. If it's not the kind of thing that's defined in action, it won't get done. So if the question is, when will it be held? Somebody has to confirm the dates. And who's going to do that? Whose job is it to confirm the dates? And when do they have to complete that task? And are there other details that they need to find out before they can do their task? You can think of this, depending what kind of, if you use various software tools, they'll use the idea of dependencies. So sometimes tasks have dependencies. I can't, in the case of a date, sometimes I can't answer the question of the date unless I know if the venue is available. I can't confirm a date until we find out if the venue is available. So you have those dependencies, and you can, these become secondary questions. What's the task? What's the actionable task? Who's responsible for it? When does it have to be completed? Are there other tasks that have to be done before this one? And so as you go through answering these questions, you begin to have a plan, really a detailed plan for the event. So an answer to a question ought to be recorded somewhere. That's maybe not described here or listed here, but the answers to these questions ought to be written down. And some of them obviously will be. The dates will be put on your calendar. But sometimes a planning committee will make decisions in a meeting and no one writes it down, and then a month or two later you come back and you say, now what did we decide about that? I have experience. So writing them down, and that develops then a plan, a detailed plan, a detailed document that describes what you're doing, names what you're doing. So you could, and we actually have some time for this, I believe. We'll take a little bit of time here. And you can think about, again, I asked you earlier to think about an event. And so you could consider that event and start thinking about items on this worksheet. Oh, yes, I know what I want to do. So we'll take just a little bit of time for you to think about that. And then I have some other ideas about working with this information. That I want to get to. So again, I'll just give you a couple minutes to explore this with one or two categories.
think I have time for questions.
I want to give a little time. So let's go on here. I realized that one other section I wanted to talk about, I thought I was past that. And that's the question of how you're going to work with this information. And this is a place that really can vary a lot. Avery, you can hand out that other paper. You can simply use a paper checklist. And years ago, that's what we did at Faith Builders. And Avery's handing out a checklist that we used. It shows a checklist from several events. It's actually not as long or as detailed as what I would use now if I were making a checklist for those same events. It doesn't have all the detail on it that I would include now. It's plan the speakers. Well, there's not a lot of detail given in that, for example. But you can use paper. That works well. Simply, here's a list of what has to be done, who's doing it, when does it have to be done. This is an example, not a template. Yes, I would. So here's two events. And you can look at the kinds of answers that were given or the kinds of tasks that were assigned. My point is simply that paper can be a tool for managing information. And you can have, I've seen binders, three-ring binders that are shared, and they can be passed on, and they have this kind of information in them. That's a very good option. Of course, you can go digital. And in the 21st century, there's no end of digital options and solutions. You can use a personal task list manager. You can find a shared task management platform. You can find a team site that allows people to share documents and share information. You can use databases, and the options for each of those categories are not quite limitless, but close. I was tempted to just make a list of a lot of different ones and icons. I didn't do that, but anything from there's Microsoft To Do, there's Google Tasks, there's Trello, there's Evernote, there's Asana, there's Microsoft Teams, there's Slack. Some of my coworkers use Notion. There's something called Stackby. There's Microsoft OneDrive. There's Google Drive. And then if you get into registration platforms, things like EventZilla and RegFox and BrushFire, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. It can be overwhelming, and you have to find something that's helpful for you. So paper can be helpful. Simply having shared documents that are shared with Google Drive can be very helpful. Doesn't have to be fancy. But you have to think about, now you've got a list, you've defined all of this, how are you going to keep track of it? How do you know if it's getting done? How do you share information back and forth? And it's great to facilitate collaboration. The era in which we live makes it relatively easy to share information among the people who are working on something. I think it's a great idea to share information, have ways that it's readily available. But the point is not to focus on how are we going to share this information, and we like the latest and the glitziest program. That's secondary. You're trying to focus on how are we planning so that the content can be the focus. Somehow we have to manage the information. But that's secondary. That follows. We've got to answer these questions. We're making a plan. Now, let's... I'm going to pause here. Are there questions or insights or observations you have about planning events? I've given you some ideas about how I think about events. What are the questions you have or the insights? I know many of you plan events, so I'd like to hear your insights and ideas.
Two questions that I have. One has to do with the contingency we didn't really talk about, is weather.
Mm.
And we faced that this past summer.
Yes, we did.
Really wanted to do an outdoor event, but always in the back of my mind, we had to almost plan a second event, mm-hmm. if the weather, and as it turned out, we had bad weather. So, you know, and even this event, you know, what if we'd had a foot of snow, you know?
Right.
So contingencies, you know,
mm-hmm.
even with speakers, do we have a, what if a speaker gets sick?
Right.
Do we have a backup, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The other question I have is, what do you, it's easy, I like to plan events if there's something I really like and I'm excited about, but I'm not sure what to do when I say, hey, plan this, and it's like, I don't know much about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. Do you refuse to cooperate with that kind of excitement?
What of others have you done when you've been asked to... Well, you know, I'll respond from personal experience. There have been some events that I've been involved with, and as time went along, I realized I had less and less personal energy for the particular vision of the event or the context of it. Not that I thought that event should stop, but I realized where my energy was, where my heart was, wasn't so much aligned there anymore. And so there have been times when I've asked to be released from something, to say, can I stop being involved in that event committee? I think there are times to beg off or to ask to be released from something if it feels like I won't be able to bring energy. Now, obviously, there are some events that, kind of, if I accept the job description I accepted right now, there's some events that I have to plan, and I just can't negotiate out of them. I can maybe delegate parts of them, but ultimately I can't say I will have nothing to do with that event. It's part of my job, and I'll have to do it. So there are limits to how much that can happen, I think. On your first question of contingencies, that's important. And in there, I think part of it is how likely is this event, or how likely is this problem to occur? That plays into how much work we put into developing a contingency. So if it's an outdoor event, weather clearly, and in the area of the country you were when you were planning that event, bad weather is clearly a problem, or it could very likely happen. Some contingencies are less likely, and so I tend to spend less energy thinking about a plan for those if they're less likely to occur. But it's really important to think about that. Other questions or insights? What works well in planning events?
I like what you said about delegating. I think that's important for us to know our own limits and our own strengths, and,
mm-hmm.
and to utilize others' strengths.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's a lesson I'm working on learning. It's one of my weaker points. And it is a weakness. Failure to delegate is a problem. It is a weakness. Delegation is really important.
The committee I'm on now, there's some negative experiences, and that's carrying huge weight. It's impacting the committee, and they're losing energy, and they're seeing all this negativity. And I'm saying, well, I'm the new guy this year, so I'm going to listen. But I'm saying, we can't let it go. No one.
So some people would like to quit the event.
Yes.
You're saying we need to keep going. Yeah.
This is a culture thing. We can't
mm-hmm.
stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'd like to talk with you some more afterward here, and we can think about. I mean, I don't know that I have answers, but I'd be interested to talk with you about that. And I think that's, you know, sometimes that that calls for a discussion. Well, why are we doing this? And as broad a discussion as you can get among the people that are involved. Why did this start? Why does it matter? And it might be that people who are currently involved say, I'm no longer interested in being part of this committee, and it may be time for additional people to be added. If the larger organization says the why is big enough to keep doing it, we care about why we're doing this, we want to make it happen. But it's probably an opportunity to go back and say, why are we doing it? I think that'll be helpful. Okay, we need to end. Remember, my goal here is that the content is the focus. And all of these aspects help to elevate that, help to bring that up. And everything that you're doing is about making the content the focus.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.